St. Ignatius of Loyola was known for his great spiritual insights. And one of the things that he was particularly known for is encouraging prayer with scripture among his followers, among the priests that followed him, the Jesuits. Lectio Divina. And there's a number of different models of Lectio Divina. But one of the ways that Ignatius encouraged was to focus on the characters, the individuals in the stories of the gospel. And so, in particular, in tonight's gospel, who are our various characters? Who are the players on the stage? Joseph and Mary, Jesus, the innkeeper who refused them room, who had no room to offer them, the shepherds, the angels that spoke to them. Tonight, I'd like to focus on the shepherds who were there and to kind of place ourselves in their sandals, because if we do that, it kind of gives us a new kind of insight into what the gospel is telling us. What do the shepherds have to say to us 2,000 years later? There's a couple of details that the gospel offers us that are easily overlooked, but they offer us some deep insight here. Now, the shepherds were living, as the gospel tells us, now there were shepherds in that region living in the fields and keeping the watch of their sleep over their flock. They were living in their fields. I had the privilege of going to the Holy Land a couple of years ago, and as we were driving up from the Dead Sea up to Jerusalem, you know, there's an increase in elevation as you're going up to Jerusalem. And when I'm looking around at the landscape, and there's nothing but rocks. Rocks and rocks and rocks and sand and dirt and more rocks. And I wondered, how in the world could you keep sheep here? And even looking around, you know, as we were driving along, all of a sudden, every now and again, our tour guide would point out, hey, look, there's some shepherds over there. Sure enough, there's some scraggly-looking sheep eating something off the rocks that I don't know what there was to eat, but they were there. And he told us, these shepherds, the way they have shepherded sheep in Israel has not changed in thousands of years. It's been the same way, untouched, for thousands of years. But these shepherds were children. They were kids. They looked like they were 12 years old, maybe. Two or three of them, and a herd of 50, maybe 100 sheep. You can't do much more than that because there's no food. You have to keep them moving. But our gospel tells us they were living in the fields. They were living in the fields because they had to be with the sheep. Okay, they're living in the fields. They're away from society. And as a matter of fact, if there was an adult who was living with shepherds or an adult who was taking care of the sheep, It was the lowest job. It was only because he couldn't get a job doing anything else. I found it. He's no, Michael, bring it back, just in case. Disappearing water trick. He's so confused. Okay, where were we? Shepherd's field, got it. Okay. The angels came to the shepherds. The angels came to the shepherds, and commentators throughout the course of history, they focus on that the fact that shepherds were the lowest of the low. They were the lowest rung of the ladder of society. They were either children or those who couldn't get a job doing anything else, and that's all they had to do. And the angels came to them. And as a matter of fact, they showed up before who? The wise men. Those who counted for something, those who were of the higher status of society. And why? Because the wise men had to go and they had to consult with these people and those people, and they had to get all their things together and make sure they had their caravan. But the shepherds, and the verses that follow this gospel tonight, the shepherds said, let us go in haste. In haste, let us go and behold this thing that, this word that has occurred. The Greek, the actual literal Greek translation, let us go behold the word that has occurred. Let us go behold this word that has occurred. The word, capital W. And that word is, the word, word in Scripture has a very, very significant meaning. Because the word became flesh, as John tells us at the beginning of his gospel. Let us go behold this word that has happened. The point is, the word became flesh. Tonight, this night is our night. It's the night of Christians. It's the night where no longer is God someone, something distant, some vague being or force like gravity that we can't know. It works on us, but we don't know who it is or what it is. On this night, God took on flesh, and we could see him in the eyes. We could hold him in our hands. That's the meaning of Christmas. God has taken on flesh. And if you look at the artwork of Muslims and of Jews and of a number of different religious sects, they do not depict God. How can you draw the infinite? It's what they'll show is repeating like designs and repeating geometric shapes and patterns. But you cannot show God. That's blasphemous. But we can. On this night, 2,000 years ago, we know what God looked like because we could see him in the face. And he looked back at us. How do we know God is real? How do we know that Christians, what we celebrate tonight is different than what anyone else proclaims? Because we can see it. We can feel it. We can hold it. When Mary gave birth to the child Jesus and she laid him in that manger, she didn't know that even there was a fulfillment of a prophecy. Bethlehem itself means the house of bread. Bethlehem, house of bread. A manger, what is a manger? It's a feeding trough for animals. So from the very outset, from the very beginning of his birth, the day of his birth, coming to the house of bread in the city of David, lying in a feeding trough, which is meant to feed. There's a prefigurement of the Eucharist even there. That he comes on this altar, on this manger, to feed and sustain us. We can feel it, taste it, touch it, smell it. The faith is real and tangible. And for those of us who struggle to know, how do I know this is God speaking to me? How do I know that this claim that Christians are making is true? How do I know it's not just some story we tell children and pat them on the head as we send them to bed at night? How do we know that? Because we can behold it. We can behold the word that has occurred. We have the ability to speak to God one-on-one. Lord, I don't understand. I don't know for sure. Help me. Come to me. Let me feel your presence. Let me see your face. We have that ability. God is not something distant that's too far beyond our reach. He's close and intimate and right with us. Emmanuel. So on this night, let's behold that manger. Let us go to Bethlehem in haste. Too often we put off the things of the Christian life, the things of our spiritual life, because it's not urgent. There's a lot of other things that are going on. But on this night, let's make haste and peer over the edge of that crib and look upon the face of God. And what will he ask of you?